Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for staying with me today. Thanks for hanging out with me. Tamar Jacoby is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. Tamar is a longtime member of our Brain Trust, the editor of the outstanding book on immigration, Reinventing the Melting Pot, and she's the president of a brand new organization. I'm very proud of her for founding Immigration Works USA. She's our good friend. And by the way, folks, one of the world's experts, and certainly in the United States, on immigration. Tamar, welcome back to the show.
Good to be here.
It's good to have you back. Congratulations on your new venture.
Thank you so much.
You excited?
I am excited. Your listeners know what it's like. It's hard to start something, but it's
oh,
exciting.
Yeah. It's hard to start something from whole cloth, that's for sure. But you can do it because you know your product. You know what needs to be done. You know what the competition is. But tell the audience, and this will be instructive too. The reason you founded your company, your new organization, is instructive for what is going on out across the country with regard to immigration.
Well, last year we tried to pass a bill in the Senate, and we had very powerful support in Washington. We had the president, we had very powerful senators, you know, from McCain to Senator Kennedy, from actually further to the right of McCain all the way to Senator Kennedy, right to left. And then there were a lot of immigrants who were for the bill. There were millions of people marching in the street at one point, but there was no ordinary mainstream constituency of Americans who vote who were for it.
Who were for it? So let me stop you for a second. How many of those people were against it, and how many people weren't for it because they didn't understand? They just sort of stayed on the sidelines.
Right. Well, that's the people who were against it were actually a much smaller number than it looked like. They were you know, maybe 20% of the public, but they were loud and intense and vocal and
organized.
Staying up late at night writing their congressman. And you're right, most of the public didn't understand it. The business people who should have understood it the best, who need the immigrants, were either busy running their businesses or didn't think they needed to get involved. They thought somebody else would do it for them, their trade association or whoever. And as you say, most people didn't understand it.
What was the big sticking point to that bill? What was the perceived amnesty?
You know, it's hard to know what was the big sticking point for ordinary people. You know, for that 20% that were so angry, they complained about amnesty. What really confused the general or stopped the general public, other than confusion about what it really was going to do? I'm not sure it was clear. Is it amnesty? Mm-hmm. Is it they're just uneasy about immigrants? Was it that they don't trust the government to do it? It was some mix of things.
I've got a theory about where we are on the issue is not what the issue, folks, it seems to me, Tamar, is not what to do with the people who haven't come in yet, but what to do with the people who are already here. That's the real problem a lot of people have a challenge with. But I'm gonna liken what to do with the people who are already here to what the Fed did about 2 weeks ago, a week and a half ago, with Bear Stearns. You know about that deal, right? Where the Fed basically brokered a deal to sell Bear Stearns for $2 a share to J.P. Morgan. Now that's an interesting intervention by the Fed,
and it's fraught
with all kinds of moral hazard. When I talked to my Fed experts about that, they said yes, there's moral hazard there. But the moral hazard was not as bad as what could have happened if they hadn't done anything.
Right.
And so my question is, yes, there's moral hazard in making it too soft on people who have broken the law and gotten in this country illegally and continue to be illegal. But not doing anything about it is worse than that.
Yeah.
What do you think?
That's a good case. That's a good way to argue it. The scary thing is that actually, I mean, the change in opinion that's taken place in the last six, 9 months, is that more and more of the public are starting to think maybe we could just make life so miserable here that they would go home of their own, on their own. I don't think that's really true. I think many immigrants are going home because the economy's dipping. You know, if there's not work, then they go home. But
right.
A lot of Americans are starting to believe, well, if we just crack down hard enough, they'd leave. And so the trouble is that gives people an idea of what we could do instead of legalize them. And I don't think it's true, and I don't think we want to be the kind of country that would have to do the kind of things we'd have to do to make them go home. But unfortunately, that idea is catching on a little. But you've got a good point. That's the argument we've got to make. Wouldn't the alternative be worse?
Well, and let me say this, folks. I notice what I said. I didn't say although I actually favored the bill, and I'm troubled by amnesty too.
Mm-hmm,
we got an 800-pound elephant. I mean 800-pound.
Yeah,
an 8-ton elephant in our living room that we got to deal with. We can't just look around it.
And moral hazard is a nice way to talk about it. That's a nice phrase for what the issue is. And it's a nice phrase for what would be worse. You know, do we really want to be the kind of country that tears families apart and, you know, makes people frightened to, like they're doing in Arizona now, people are frightened to come out of their houses except when they have to go to work. And, you know, police are stopping people in the street just because they look wrong. And, you know, do we want to risk the moral hazard of turning into that kind of country in order to send people home? I mean, I think we have to make our immigration policy out of American interest, not out of being nice to the immigrants. But is it in our interest to become that kind of country? I don't think so.
Well, and I think that there's responsibility all around. I mean, this country didn't protect its borders. So right. when you've got human beings attempting to improve their lives at the most basic levels, that almost instinctive drive, the almost primal drive to feed their families, what are they going to do? Are they going to cross the border and worry about whether the government, whether the United States likes it or not? Or are they going to, you know, they're going to come on over? And you know, you and I would do the same thing.
Right.
And
we winked and nudged. We winked and nudged, and it was well known that as long as you could get past those guards at the border, you could have a good job.
Right.
And we didn't do anything to change that, so we were very complicit. You're completely right.
There's plenty to go around. So I think we need to realize that you know, we're not going to find 12 million people and put them on a train and send them back to Mexico. That ain't going to happen, folks. I don't know what else is going to happen, but that ain't one of them. 20 after when we come back. I'm going to get tomorrow to talk about what all this means to you and me as small business owners and what we can do about it. Stay with us. 20 after, stay with us. Welcome back. A little Chicago for you coming back. 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. Check them out when you get a chance. Use them to your advantage. They're there for you. Everything we do here is for you so you can have the information that you need to be successful, and we make sure that it doesn't cost you anything. That was our business model from day one, is that whatever we do, we wanted it to be available to you for free. And compliments of my organization and our outstanding corporate partners. Tamar Jacoby is our guest, and I bet she's got a brand new website, don't you, Tamar?
I do. ImmigrationWorksUSA.org.
ImmigrationWorksUSA.org.
Correct.
What do we find when we get there?
You're going to find information on what's going on immigration. You're going to find encouragement to get involved in the immigration battle. You can get involved either at your state level, where a lot of businesses are running into trouble because the states are cracking down and trying to squeeze the immigrants out of the state.
If I'm a small business owner and I've got the potential to be in a little bit of jeopardy with regard to hiring, or I'm thinking about doing something that might, you know, I need help, I need workers, I need employees, and I might have to turn to what a sector of the population that might be considered illegal, possibly. Is there information on your website that will help me to get a perspective on that?
That's one of the things we're going to provide. We're just getting started, and we haven't gotten yet to that to helping people get to legal advice, but that's one of the things we're going to provide.
What are the issues that you see for small businesses with regard to immigration?
Well, lots of, in many sectors, and your listeners know this, in many sectors, from restaurants to construction to agriculture to food processing to hospitality, it's very hard to run a business in America without turning to that workforce. And
yeah.
Usually the people come with some kind of papers, but you can't tell whether those papers are good or not. You
right.
can look at them. You can run them through the government system.
Did you mention the construction industry? I hope you did. I couldn't remember.
If I didn't, I should. Yeah.
That's a huge part of this.
It's huge. And so it's really a predicament for small business owners because as I said, they're put in the position of deciding whether they want to grow their business or obey the law. How can we
right.
put American businesses in that kind of position? But that's the position a lot of people are in. They don't know what to do. They don't know where to turn. And you're right. They need two kinds of advice. I mean, one kind of advice is just legal. What do I do? But the other is, how do you get – we're trying to help them get organized so that they – last time when we had the fight in the Senate, the people who were against the bill, so many of them wrote and emailed and faxed their congressmen that they shut down the Senate switchboard. And most congressmen said, we're getting letters and email 400 to 1. I literally heard two staffers say, one said the email in my office is running 400 to 1, and the other guy said, well, at least you're getting one.
Which way?
And of course,
in favor?
400 against the bill.
400 against the bill, wow.
No, and to maybe one, if one, for it.
Uh-huh.
And the point is we're not going to be able to beat that. We're probably not going to be able to even it out.
But tomorrow, let's stop for a second. 400 to 1, let's just say that's a good poll. Let's say that's a good sample.
Mm.
That's a lot of people against this bill. If that's the will of the people, then what's their alternative?
But it's not really the will of the people. That's 20% of the public that's really riled up about it, getting angry and bothering
yeah.
to email their congressman. The people who were for it didn't know enough or didn't bother to email their congressman.
Here's my point to say back to those people. Okay, folks, if this is the will of the people, what's your solution? 20%. What's your solution?
Right, and their answer is try to drive them out, and that's what we're trying to do now.
That's preposterous.
Well, exactly, but that's what we're trying. I mean, go to a state like Arizona. The whole state of Arizona is basically organized, or not all of it, because not everyone goes along. But the government machinery of Arizona is organized to drive the illegal immigrants out of the state, and it's going to be devastating to their economy. But that's what they're trying to do. They're making the laws so tough. They've got the sheriff stopping them in the street. They're preventing them from getting any kind of government services. They're just doing everything they can to try to make them go home. I mean, it's not going to work. It's going to be a disaster. But
now,
that's the policy we're trying now.
Tamar, I know we've got your book here, The Reinventing the Melting Pot, and it's a collection of articles by a number of people. Folks, this would be a good book for you to find. Is this still available at Amazon?
It is. Yes, it is.
Yeah. Reinventing
what it talks about is how to help immigrants. What are we going to ask of immigrants for them to become Americans? I mean, it's about a more. It's not about this bread and butter immediate issue of what are we going to do about the illegality or legality.
Yeah.
It's about the bigger question of what does it mean to be an American today, and what do we have to do? What part of that is there a bargain there? And if there's a bargain, what's our responsibility and what's the immigrant's responsibility?
For folks, start with this book. And by the way, it's a collection of articles, so it's not hard to read. Really, it's very easy to read. Reinventing the Melting Pot, edited by Tamar Jacoby, our good friend, and the president of the brand new organization, Immigration Works USA. Congratulations, Tamar. I'm proud of you.
Thank you, Tim.
We'll see you next time.
Thank you.
Quick break, right back after these messages. Here's that crazy Englishman, Joe Cocker, to take us out.
Oh,
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.